this wealthy man or influential man is ready to hear you because you have attracted the attention of someone who lives in his heart. So in much the same way, to get Srimati Radharani's mercy, we worship Lord Damodar. And we do this every day when we are in during this month. We do the Damodar Puja, and today is the last. But before we start, I request you to look back and see the full moon. And do you see the marking on the full moon? It looks like a hare, like a Kaninchen. That's a German word. A rabbit. Can you see it like this? In the front, or let us say up, you see the two ears. He's sitting like this, you know, like. Yeah, you see? So it is said that Srimati Radharani looks as beautiful as the full moon. But then the poet who has compared Radharani's face to the full moon goes, "Hare!" and regrets. The full moon has that mark on it, the mark of the rabbit. But Radharani's heart, or Radharani's face, is without any marks. So this is on this full moon. Now we will do our Damodar Puja. I request all of you, thank you very much, to fully sing. Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram. Bhajami Radham Aravinda Netram. Smarami Radham Madura Smitasyam. Ami Radham Madura Smitasyam. Vadami Radham Karuna Baratram. Yadam Karuna Baratram. Tato Mamanyasti Gatir Nakvapi. Tato Mamanyasti Gatir Matapi. This is from Raghunathas Goswami, an ideal meditation about Srimati Radharani. It says, I worship Srimati Radharani, who has beautiful lotus eyes, which are shaped like the petals of a blue lotus. Then he continues how he thinks of Srimati Radharani. I think of Srimati Radharani, or meditate of Srimati Radharani, as a very soft smile plays around her lotus face. This is when you meditate about Krishna or about Radharani, you should always end at the smile of his face. You really meditate on the smile of Krishna's lotus face, which later turns into a happy laughter. This dries the ocean of tears from the material world. And finally, I talk of Srimati Radharani, and of all the qualities which the devotee talks about, it is the quality of her mercy which has even saved very unqualified persons. There's a description how Srimati Radharani once walked around her favorite Kund, Radha Kund, and due to some special event, a dead fox was lying there. So Radharani's lotus foot touched the dead fox, and she inquired from her sakis, "This must be a manjari, offering most respectful obeisances to me." "No, no," said the sakis, "you wouldn't like to know what that was." "That's a dead fox." But Radharani said, "No, no, it must be a manjari." And because Srimati Radharani is so merciful. And the second quality is her words are always becoming effect. That a former dead fox turned into an eternal maidservant of Srimati Radharani just by her good wishes alone. So on the month of Kartik, on the last day, the Rasa Purnim day, Raghunath Das Goswami, like on any other days, likes to meditate about this one quality of Radharani, her amazing compassion, which turns a dead fox into an eternal maidservant. Krishna. So, I would now like to read to you, in conclusion of this month, various activities from the Bhagavatam, a verse which describes the wonderful minds of the gopis and how they attained this wonderful state of Krishna consciousness, which makes them the greatest of Krishna's devotees. Shishako uvacha evam vrajastri yorajan Krishna lilanugayatihi remire hashutachitas tat manaska mahodaya. Shri Sukadev Goswami said, O King, during the daytime, the gopis of Vrindavan took pleasure in continuously singing about the pastimes of Krishna. And those ladies' minds and hearts, absorbed in him, were filled with great festivity. The Sukadev Goswami concludes this forest where the gopis sing of Krishna as he wanders in the forest by saying, My dear King Parikshit, the gopis' minds were absorbed in Krishna, and Krishna's mind was absorbed in them. Therefore, since Krishna and his beloved gopis shared both roles of being the object, Ashraya, and the subject of love, Vishaya, they concentrated their minds on each other. Thus, because they continuously relished each other at every moment, both in separation and meeting, through their minds, it is said in this verse that the gopis enjoyed the separation during the day. You must know, prema or love has two states, union and separation. Though the person absorbed in Krishna appears to be suffering when he is separated from Krishna, actually he is internally relishing the highest state of bliss. On the spiritual platform, the so-called pain of separation is simply a different variety of transcendental ecstasy. Thus, pure love of God is the crown jewel of all goals of human endeavor. So here this wonderful relationship between Krishna and his devotees is described, a very encouraging relationship. These gopis were continuously singing about the pastimes of Krishna. And although they were apparently separated from Krishna, Krishna had entered their minds and hearts because they were constantly absorbed in him. When a devotee thus learns to become absorbed in Krishna by thinking of Krishna, then Krishna will not hesitate to enter the mind and heart of the devotee, even though he is apparently separated and distant from that devotee. Krishna will come and play in the heart. Krishna will come and give the devotees answer. And Krishna will come and give the devotees important guidance in his next step. The only thing the devotees have to learn is to internally be with Krishna and thus relish the highest state of bliss. Now this Kartik month goes to an end, and during this month we have sincerely tried to please Srimati Radharani and Krishna by being absorbed in them. And we have seen practically as we were going from day to day and entering more and more into the subjects of the Bhagavatam while chanting the different shlokas and different songs, that Krishna has listened to us and Krishna has come through the feelings of separation into the heart. This is a wonderful experience which you should all relish. Hear something wonderful, my dear devotees. Hear something wonderful. When Krishna vibrates his flute, Brajas, bulls, deer and cows standing in groups at a great distance are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. Ah, isn't this wonderful? He is the most amazing of amazing things. Oh, devotees, here, from the very beginning, Krishna has stolen the minds of the devotees. And how does Krishna steal the mind of his devotees? Listen. On Krishna's cloud-like chest, which is effulgent with a pearl necklace resembling a row of flying cranes, flashes the golden line of Lakshmi like a stationary lightning. So Krishna's chest has a beautiful pearl necklace. We have understood that in these pearls there is a face of Radharani looking at him. So many faces of Radharani, because many pearls are there, are looking at Krishna. And on his chest, there is not only this pearl necklace, there's this line, it's a gold line of Lakshmi, which looks like a flash, which comes from a monsoon cloud. Krishna vibrates his flute. When you hear the seductive song of Krishna's flute, everything changes in the madness of love. What to speak of human beings like us? Even dumb animals become stunned by the vibration of Krishna's flute. When the bulls, the cows, and forest animals hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they become stunned. That means they can't move any longer. And they cannot swallow even the grass that they are chewing. The sound of Krishna's flute steals their minds and stops the functioning of their senses so that they appear as if they are asleep. Krishna's flute song comes and everything stops, the chewing and all the other activities of the senses. The chewed grass remains in their mouths without falling to the ground. they become completely immobilized and their breathing almost stops. Then, rather than appearing like statues, they look like painted pictures standing in the Adbhuta Rasa. The gopis are talking to each other, and you should, if you have a little time, read this. It's in the chapter, the gopis sing of Krishna as he wanders in the forest. And as they sing of Krishna, such a wonderful picture appears in their hearts and in the hearts of the readers, that you feel you are with Krishna in the forest due to strong feelings of absorption. So this is, there is one last verse which I would like to read about Krishna. Anacharai samanuvanita viya adi purusha ivachala buti vanacharo giratate shujarantiya venu nayavatiga sayada hivanalatas taravatmani vishnum vyanyayantya iva pushpa faladya pranatabara vitapamadhudara prema hrishta tanavova vishusma dashaniyo tilako vanamala divyaganda tulasi madhumataya alikule alagugitam abhishtam adriyanyahi sandita venu sarasi sarasa hangsa vihangas charugita hrita chetasa etya harim upasata teyata chita hanta milita drisho tritamona. Listen to this, my dear devotees. Krishna moves in the forest in the company of his friends, who vividly chant the glories of his magnificent deeds. They sing, Jai Govinda!
Jai Govinda!
Jai Gopal!
Jai Gopal!
Jai Madhusudan!
Jai Madhusudan!
Jai Tribhangalalita!
Jai Tribhangalalita!
He thus appears just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibiting his inexhaustible opulences. And look at the cows. When the cows wander onto the mountain sides, that's when they go to Giriraj and climb on the hill, and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute. Then the trees and creepers in the forest, who hear also this flute song, become so luxuriant with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. You know, as soon as you have Krishna in your heart, you begin to show signs of enlivened Krishna consciousness. Your face is decorated with smile. Your body is decorated with goosebumps. Beep! The eyes are decorated with tears. So when the trees hear the sound of Krishna's flute and Krishna enters their hearts, they also show signs of ecstasy. That means fruits appear and flowers and so on. As their branches bend low with the weight, the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of the ecstasy of love of God. The branches go down with the fruits because they want to offer the fruits of their ecstasy to Krishna. And everything about them is ecstatic. The vines are erupting in ecstasy. Both the trees and the creepers pour down a rain of sweet sap. That means they begin to cry in ecstasy. And as a result of this wonderful crying, you know, these tree juice, it's sap, which is very sweet to drink, that pours down. So, but there is something else. Krishna has a garland with tulsi flowers, and the tulsi flowers have a divine honey-like aroma, so that the bees become maddened and sing loud for Krishna. And then that most beautiful of all persons thankfully acknowledges and acclaims their song by taking his flute to his lips and playing it. Wonderful, isn't it? The bees go mad from the fragrance of the tulsi garland, which is around Krishna's chest, and they sing loud for him. And Krishna says, well sung, very good raga, very good. The charming flute song then steals away the minds of the cranes, the swans, and other lake-dwelling birds. Indeed, all these birds approach Krishna, close their eyes, and maintaining strict vows of silence, worship him by fixing their consciousness upon him in deep meditation. So, this is simply wonderful. I wanted to read to you something from the Purport about this wonderful smell of tulsi. Usually lotus flowers, jasmine flowers, and Nagakeshara flowers are described as fragrant by ordinary people. But in actuality, the glories of tulsi are much greater. Still, she is normally not considered an especially fragrant plant. Now, it says, ordinary people cannot perceive tulsi's fragrance, but early in the morning, spiritually advanced persons can experience her fragrance as greater than that of the lotus. When you get up very early, it's the time when Lord Krishna goes home after spending the night in the forest of Vrindavan. At that time, when Krishna comes home, tulsi, very early in the morning, emits a fragrance, and spiritually advanced persons can experience her fragrance as greater than that of the lotus. The bees, who are spiritually advanced, and they are, because they are privileged to swarm about flower garlands on Krishna's neck, certainly appreciate this fragrance. Actually, the most sublime fragrance of tulsi is only fully appreciable to the super excellence and most perfect sense of smell of Krishna himself. By the covering of yoga maya, tulsi's fragrance cannot be appreciated by anyone else. Just see about I like this picture very much. Krishna goes into the forest of Vrindavan, and the bees are following him because they can recognize the fragrance of tulsi Devi, and therefore become mad with ecstasy and sing, and Krishna acknowledges their song. So, ordinary people cannot so much experience the fragrance of Tulasi Devi. Only Krishna can smell it. This is a very nice analogy for devotee. The devotee should be there for Krishna only. He should give pleasure to Krishna's senses, to Krishna's ears, to Krishna's heart especially. He is not meant for the world, the devotee. The devotee is meant for Krishna. I think this should we should follow Tulasi's footsteps as much as possible produce fragrance for Krishna. Produce our service for Krishna. Other people may not acknowledge so much the extraordinary qualities of Krishna's devotees, but Krishna's devotees are not meant to please the people of the world. Krishna's devotees are meant, like Tulasi, to please the senses of their Lord only. Very, very, very nice. So I don't know, I have not prepared this as a class, I've just read a little from the different purports and different sections of the Bhagavatam. Oops! What's happening? From the Bhagavatam. At random, because it's the full moon night, and please all look a little bit around, look towards Giriraj here in the distance. No, who is, his hairs are standing in ecstasy on end in the form of these very nice trees. He must be listening to these verses from the Bhagavatam and the purports from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. See, when you come to the heart of Krishna consciousness, the heart of Krishna consciousness is just ecstatic reciprocation or exchange between Krishna and his devotees. That's the heart of what Krishna consciousness is all about. An ecstatic exchange, a reciprocation of devotional feelings between Krishna and his devotees. And I felt today this reciprocation very strongly, because during the little ceremony which we had, Krishna gave so many signs that he was pleased with it. Even Prabhupada's voice was all of a sudden there from the spiritual world, and Krishna sent his dear devotees to bless all of us, Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj and all these devotees from Russia and Kazakhstan and Mongolia and all these esoteric places. And I told some of the devotees this morning something wonderful happened. I had prayed for a sign, a blessing of Srimati Radharani for these devotees who take their first and second initiation. And all of a sudden I saw, just there where my hand is pointing, a cloud of kumkum powder, red powder, which looked as if someone had thrown holy into the air. It looked like this. I had asked a certain question and asked for confirmation, and all of a sudden, in a very joyous way, the way only which can only happen in Braj, this uncomplicated, very joyous way, it seemed that Radharani answered by throwing some kumkum. And I was afraid maybe I was imagining something, because my mind has become a little bit pagal and due to the full moon. I was thinking like this, so I asked the highly objective Mukunda Prabhu to come out and see for himself, and he also thought, wow, he said, Maharaj, this is all red, as if holy is going on. I said, yes, this is a sign which we have requested, that Srimati Radharani and Krishna are seeing our little attempts to serve them, and seeing the attempts of the devotees to serve them. This reciprocation is important. Prabhupada said, we should learn to talk to God. We should learn this little art. Like in a personal relationship, you talk to the person. So you talk to Krishna, and to Radharani, and you will get answers. Having said this, I want to close this Kartik Vrata. I myself feel the strong pull of Giriraj to do a Giriraj Parikrama, but I can imagine that not all of you, after so many eventful days, are up to it. So some of you might like to do half, or you might like to go home, because soon there is the retreats, and it might be a little sturdy, but now we need to get going, right? Krishna. Hare Krishna. It's so nice to see all of you. Isn't it a wonderful atmosphere? And everyone was afraid of this night, because you know, Brijbasis like to celebrate very loud. Ooh. You know, their sweets are very sweet, their sabjis are very hot, and their festivals are very loud. But no sound was there today. It all exploded yesterday. So we were protected. I think they must have celebrated yesterday, Purnima. But today is also Purnima too. It's today only. I can also see it's today. It's Purnima. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai, Shri Krishna ki jai, Srimati Radharani ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Govinda Kund ki jai. What else? Radha Damodar ki jai, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Radha Kund Syama Kund ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Oh, glorious to Srila Prabhupada.